speaking about that very long this morning. Well, as usual, I'm talking about election. Might as well start it that way. Just election. Actually, what I've been trying to emphasize is that there are reasons to remember the hole of the pit from which we're digged. And when Peter tells us to give diligence to make your calling and election sure, that indicates to me I need to know something. We need to know something about calling and election. We cannot avoid it if I am to try to make it sure, right? Just can't avoid that subject. Now, as far as election is concerned, we've looked at the reason. Election does not depend upon human will. That is, when God chose, it had nothing to do with human will, foreseen or otherwise. Election did preclude human will. And as Paul is clear in Romans, it says it for this reason, that the purpose of God according to election. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Now, many people think God has this great purpose, but it doesn't include election. Election is just God chose whoever would choose him. But as Christ said, he clearly said it to the 11 is who he meant in particular. Ye have not chosen me. And that is a point that people, they think, well, he means originally. No, ever. We did not choose Christ. He chose us.
Amen.
You know? Election precludes human will. That's the reason why we're elected. God simply was pleased to choose me.
Amen.
We have no other basis. But how is the actual method? Is there a method in which we're chosen? And the scripture gives us an affirmative yes on that. Ephesians chapter 1. It tells us the method in which we were chosen.
Yes, sir.
Now let's just read that. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to begin in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
I have it all.
Yes, sir.
Whether I can see it or not.
Yeah.
And, let me put it another way, I have it all, even though I may think my experience tells me otherwise.
Yeah.
Because often we seem to have this bent in our mind, and I'm persuaded it's depravity, that the bad things are not blessings. It's the good thing, the things that make me happy, the things that make me joyful.
Yeah.
That's the blessings of God. But you remember what the one writer said? It is good that I have been afflicted.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's a blessing. Now, it may not feel like a blessing when you're going through that.
Exactly.
You may not think it to be a blessing, but nevertheless, it is a blessing. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. How? According. Okay. According as he hath chosen us in him before. Now let's stop. According as he. He who. Well, the first reference here is to God the Father. And it says, according as he hath chosen us in him. In who? The second reference in the preceding verse is who? Christ. As it goes on to say, we're actually accepted in the Beloved. That's the Son.
Yes,
that's God the Son. According, that is, we are blessed according, and blessed with all blessings, right?
Yes, sir.
And again, spiritual blessings. But spiritual doesn't mean it's not real.
Exactly.
You know? My having a job is a spiritual blessing from God. My losing my job will be, if I lose it, a spiritual blessing.
Yes, sir.
From God. Why? Scripture says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
But that doesn't make me happy. God don't care about our happiness. I'm yet to find one verse where God's desire and intent is to make us happy. You know? I heard a preacher one time said, God cares far less about your happiness than you do. I don't think it has nothing to do with happiness.
Exactly.
And as Earl has said many times, happiness has to do with this, happenings, circumstances.
Yep.
Joy can rise above happiness. Joy, that God purposed for us, but not happiness.
Yep.
As I've told you before, I mean, this is one of the big things that happened to my, I'm not happy. And all I can say is, well, you know, I wish I could do better. But I can't. I can't. And when you know God, when you know Christ, you know the truth of His gospel, you know that here's what matters is joy.
Yes, sir.
Not happiness.
Exactly.
Because some of your greatest joy will come at probably some of your most unhappy moments in life. So we're what? Blessed according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now here's a question. When did God choose? This choosing.
Yeah.
According as He has chosen us.
Yeah.
When did He choose? What does it say? Before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
So those who are born into this world, they either are born chosen or they're born not chosen, rejected of God,
exactly.
Reprobate, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Now, it doesn't say He chose for us to be. You see that? It said He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's the only way I could be holy and without blame is for Him to choose me, what? In Christ.
Amen.
Now, any idea of election, that is, its method, and we're going, there's reason, method, that's all joined together that points in some way to man's deeds is not, as Scripture calls it, the election of grace. It is never called the election of foreknowledge. It's called election according to the foreknowledge of God the Father.
Amen.
And God's foreknowledge, simply stated as prescience, is based upon His divine sovereign purpose. For it says, Christ was delivered up by wicked men's hands. He was crucified and slain by wicked men's hands. But this was according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
Amen.
Why did God foreknow what these men would do? Because God determined before what they were going to do.
Amen.
Predetermination comes before prescience.
Yes, sir.
God does not know because He looks into the future. God is not a fortune teller. He is the maker of our futures.
Amen.
He's not a glorified hand palm reader. And that's what most people see God as, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
He's like the greatest palm reader ever because He knows it all. Huh?
Yeah.
He knows it all because He determined it all.
Amen.
He either determined to directly bring it to pass as the first cause or to bring something to pass through a second cause.
Yes, sir.
But God Almighty determined what would happen. And that's why it says, according as He has chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. How? In love. Now some say the in love should go with verse 5. But it's maybe well true, but it doesn't destroy the phrase here. Some say it actually should read that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Next statement, in love having predestinated us. But the love covers everything. It's not that God loved us in election, but predestination, no love was considered here. That God's just out there predetermining things based upon just some, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Love is included in all of this.
Yes, sir.
And be honest with you, I don't know which one for sure it goes with. Because in the Greek, there are sometimes no punctuation marks as we know them. Punctuation mark says we know them. It has to do with the type of the word and the way you end the word with the letters you end the word with. And I'm not that good at Greek, so, and you have Greek scholars disagreeing, so Mason, I don't know for sure who. You know? I just have to tell you honestly. But this is true. Having, now this is, according as he has chosen, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us. So in the order of doctrine, he predestinated us. This predestination preceded the election. Now it does not precede, that is in God's doing, because what God does, he does everything simultaneously. God did not grow in knowledge. God did not predestinate and then say, oh, you know what, I think I'll choose them too. Yeah. You see, this is all with God, one sovereign act, Jay. Yeah. But there's no way for us to comprehend it apart from the Spirit of God moving the Apostle Paul to put it in proper doctrinal order for us to understand. He blessed us according as he chose us, having predestinated us. You get it? You see that now, the order? He blessed us according as he chose us, having predestinated us. So it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. So again, I mean, and it's actually, it's redundant, but this is, it is redundantly pointing to grace and not works. Right? It's redundantly saying over and over again with each point of doctrine, God Almighty is the author of this. He's the reason. He's the method. Yes. And it depends not upon man in any way. Now, God chose us, having predestinated us unto being his children. That's basically what it's saying. Yeah. God predetermined that I become, be adopted as his child. Right? So that throws this idea about God foreknew who would become his child. No, he predestinated who would be his children. Amen. Right? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Yeah. And then, he said different phrases to keep saying it over and over again in different ways, hammering the truth home according to the good pleasure of his will. Amen. Not according to what he seen we would will. But according to the good pleasure of his will. That harkens me back to Romans chapter 9, where it says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
And why is this? Why did God do it this way? To the praise of the glory of his grace. God saved me to praise himself. He didn't save me, and he didn't save you just because he felt sorry for us. The only reason God saved anybody was to give praise and honor to his own grace.
Yes, sir.
Somebody asked, that sounds pretty self-centered. God's got the right to be. Yeah. He's the creator. That's what a creator is. A self-contained being, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't, the clay don't say to the potter, you do it this way.
Exactly.
That's the difference between the potter and the clay. The potter does with the clay what he well blessed pleases.
That's right.
And the clay has no legal right to cry foul. I guess it's kind of going back. Somebody said, well, that sure makes us to be pretty much nothing. Oh, remember, we're said to be less than nothing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes,
Scripture doesn't say we're just nothing. It says we're less than nothing. I can't even comprehend that. You know? Nothing means nothing. Nothing's about as bad as you can get. Well, that's a nothing. You ever heard that? Well, he or she's surely a nothing. Well, we are less than that.
Exactly.
You know, when we point our fingers, somebody says, well, that's sure nothing right there. Remember, God says we're less than that. We're worse than we think we really are. Put it that way. That's basically what it's saying. What? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. Now, once you begin to, by God's revelation from Scripture, and God begins to show you what you truly are by nature, right there is true bona fide hope.
Yes, sir.
God didn't just choose me to go to heaven. That's not what this says. You know? It's not what this is talking about. God didn't just, he didn't predestinate me just to go to heaven. He predestinated me to be his child.
Yes, sir.
Right? And he did all of this. Why? And have, not just why, but what happened in all this? Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Here is a sovereign, here again, it's a sovereign work of God. It did not depend upon us. As a matter of fact, it was in spite of us.
Exactly. That's it.
Remember, this lump of clay, now theologians can argue it and they come up with their phrases all they want. But remember this, God Almighty never was and never has been ignorant of the fact that the human race would be and could be nothing else but, in Adam, a fallen race.
Exactly.
That was his purpose. This lump of clay that God takes and makes one to honor and one to dishonor is considered by God to be a fallen lump of clay.
Yes, sir.
That's why he had to predestinate us to be his children. We were not simply considered to be in a neutral state.
No.
We were considered to be in an antagonistic state.
Sir.
We were not considered merely to be some poor, uninformed individuals. We were people who were by nature the enemies of God.
Yes.
And yet God, in some of these people, to the praise of the glory of his grace, has what? Made them accepted in Christ.
Amen.
Now, see right there, that's what gives me comfort. If God chose me, he made me accepted in Christ. Now, I know it's a comment. People still say it today. And remember, this argument is not new. This didn't begin around John Calvin or Jacob Arminius' day. Paul was dealing with this. And it's clear in Romans 9, he was dealing with opposition to this truth even back then. Okay? And people say, well, that just gives people a license to sin. They're going to sin anyway.
Yes, sir.
If I stood up here and told you, if you sin one more sin, God's going to bring lightning down from heaven. And he's going to consume you in a flash, and you're going to go to hell right then.
Yes.
You know what they're going to do? They're still going to go out and sin.
Yep.
Right? If I tell them, if you sin, we're going to kick you out and we're going to put billboards up with your picture on it and your name. And we're going to tell people what you did. Huh? You know what they're going to do? They're going to go out and sin.
Yeah.
That's what we are.
Yes, sir.
But giving people a license to sin.
Exactly.
And I tell you, what really aggravates, what really angers me is when they say that doctrine or that teaching. Some of them even go that far. They say, you, that's one thing to accuse me of doing it. Okay? And there are some people that the writers warn us of that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness.
Yes.
Well, there's God's grace, I'm free, I do whatever I blessed well want. No, you're a servant of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
He bought you with a price, therefore you're to glorify God in your body, which is his.
Yes, sir.
You're not your own. You're not free in that sin. You're not free to serve sin. You're free to serve Christ without fear of condemnation.
Amen.
Giving people license to sin. Reminds me of the fellow I used to work with at that one place. Doctrine is the devil's handiwork. And automatically right then I knew, well, you don't know any. Well, if you knew the doctrine, you know whether it was of God or whether someone spoke of themselves.
Exactly.
Right? Well, Christ said. Doctrine is the devil's handiwork. You know what that? What, you know what he's saying? I'm a stupid idiot. That's another way of confessing I'm a stupid idiot. Spiritually speaking, I'm a stupid idiot. Because I don't want nothing to do with teaching. I don't want to be taught. I want to shout and holler, yee-haw, praise Jesus. Here, hold my hand. And that big fellow stood, I mean, he towered over me, had a hand look like it was that long. He reached that hand out to mine. I put my hand in my pocket, and I stepped back against the wall. You know, I ain't sitting there holding this man's hand. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he's had that hand. You know? Crazy, stupid religion. That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
Somebody comes to me after that meeting and said, boy, I wish I'd have been down here with you all where the Holy Ghost was. And I looked at those steps and I thought, they're not that bad. I can make them up there. I can go up them steps.
Yeah.
And you say, you're being mean. You're being facetious. You're right, because that's stupidity.
Yes, sir.
That the Holy Spirit can be down here on the first level, but he can't get up in the balcony?
Exactly.
Well, that's not how he meant it. It doesn't matter how he meant it. That's what he's saying. I wish I'd have, if I had just been down here where the Holy Ghost was. It's amazing. And yet these very people, you know why? Because I gave that man a message by Henry Mahan on the day about the day of Pentecost. Never heard back from him again. That preacher, never heard back from him again.
Exactly.
Now he this fellow that invited me to come, he knew where I was. We still worked together. Mason, not a word. Boy, I was glad to have you here. Oh, message on Pentecost. I love Pentecost. I'll listen to that. I don't know whether he did or not, but he never called back.
Yeah.
I figure he did. And I figure he despised everything he heard on that.
Yeah.
Why? Because he heard this right here, that God has made us accepted in the Beloved. You see, salvation, the method of election is that God chose to make me his child in spite of myself.
Exactly.
In spite of what I really would be when I was born. And there are only two religions in this world. There is the religion of free reigning grace, and then there is the religion of works.
That's it. Yes, sir.
And it's all can be divided down to that.
Yeah.
And if a person worships cows, stones, pieces of wood, or some god made up in their mind that dwells over in the furthermost regions, those persons are no less idolaters. Now, they are idolaters, but they are no less idolaters than the free willist who believes God's some poor, pitiful being that wants men to let him have his way. That's not the God of heaven. That's an idol. It's a figment of man's imagination. That's what the word image comes from.
Yeah.
Comes from what? Imagination. They make it, they form it with their hands, but it began where? Right up here, that's where it began. And remember that there was a time when humanity knew God.
Yeah.
Simply as general knowledge, humanity knew God, but they glorified him not as God.
Exactly.
But they became vain in their imaginations.
Yes.
And they turned the glory of the creature, or they took the glory of the Creator and turned it toward the glory of the creature. And begin to worship four-footed beasts and creeping things.
Yes,
fowls of the air, the bodies, terrestrial bodies of heaven. And it says concerning some people that because of this, what did God do? God gave them over.
Yes,
to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
Exactly.
And I'm not even going into that list to do those things that are not convenient. Let me tell you something, this idea that God chose everybody. I mean, I heard that one time. Now, I've only heard one person say it. Well, I believe God chose everybody. And I thought, my land, I don't even know a solid Arminian that believes that.
Exactly.
You know? God chose everyone. No, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. But is this just something to where God does this in spite of justice, in spite of righteousness, in spite of holiness? Does God just look over what these people really are? Did he just predestinate us, Joseph? All right, I am making them my children, and I am making them accepted in the Beloved. I ain't worried about their sin. Is that what God did? He can't do that. Now, he can't do that. It's against him, his holy character. What does it say next? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
according to the riches of his grace.
Amen.
You know that phrase that men use? Sending away your day of grace. You ever heard people use that? Well, first of all, it ain't your day of grace. First of all, it's God's day of grace.
Exactly.
You've got no grace to be your day. Right? He is the God of all. It's not your day of grace. Exactly. It's God's grace. Exactly. And to say that a man can send away grace or a day of grace,
yeah,
where sin abounded, I read, grace did what? Much more abound. So get out of my face.
Amen.
Don't come to me with that. I don't want to hear someone send away their day of grace. Either they had a day of grace in Christ before the world began, or they'll never have one. And if they had a day of grace in Christ before the world began, it will continue eternally until God's eternal purpose is carried out.
Yes, sir.
Without fault or failure. As a matter of fact, Paul even tells us that God gave us grace in Christ before the foundation of the world. Didn't he?
Yeah.
He gave us that grace.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't, Jay, just a day of grace. It was an actual gift given us before the world was. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, or the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And look, okay, God does that. He satisfied justice. Blood is shed. Christ's blood is shed for the forgiveness of sin. Sin's paid for.
Yes,
it's suffered for, right? The penalty of death and shedding of blood and death is carried out on someone. A person able to do this, right? Now, do we just wake up in heaven one day and find out, well, that happens for me? Huh? Now what does it say? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will.
Amen.
You see, those that God purposed this for, he predestinated to it, he's going to tell them about it.
Yes, sir.
He will bring it home to them.
That's right.
He's going to teach them about it. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Yes.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated,
yes,
according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Amen.
That's the method of election. But as we said, and it's kind of pointed out here, but Paul doesn't deal with it a whole lot other than this statement where he says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, what? After that ye heard the word of truth.
Amen.
The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So this purpose is not just, he teaches us what this is, but Mason, we're brought to believe it. We're brought to trust God in it, right? We hear this message, and what is the message? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the good news that you could be saved. Is that what we heard? Now, that's what a lot of people are hearing, and that ain't the gospel.
Exactly.
It is, you heard the good news of your salvation. You heard that God has saved you.
Yes, sir.
That's the gospel of salvation.
Yeah.
In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation. Now, the goal of this, we've looked at the reason. We've seen the method. The goal of this does include human will. Right? Because we're going to be taught, right? Something's going to be revealed to us. We're going to trust. We're going to believe, right? Those are acts of the human will. Or I should say acts that include the human will. So the goal of this does include human will. I wasn't just predestinated to adoption, chosen and blessed with all blessings. I only have blood bought redemption and forgiveness of sins, and then all of a sudden I just wake up in glory one day. No, I'm actually brought to willingly, knowingly, consciously, lovingly believe this. Follow this. Trust this. Love this. That's what happens to us. What is it? 2 Thessalonians 2. And this is what Paul writes. He gives us then the goal of election. And it's not heaven. You know, heaven is the goal of all of this. Okay? The goal of election is to bring us to what? Believe the truth. Believe the truth.
Yes, sir.
Believe the truth. That's the goal of election. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, that is through a work of the Spirit, being set apart of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Through sanctification of the Spirit and what? Belief of the truth. Now we know according to Romans 10, man can't believe the truth if he ain't never heard the truth.
That's right.
Now somebody said, well, you, in other words, you believe someone has to hear you. No, they have to hear the truth.
That's it.
Now, I don't care where that truth comes from, but it must be truth. I don't care who says it, whether the stones cry out, or a jackass says it, or a Calvinist, or an Arminian says it. If it's the truth, God can and will use it.
Yes, sir.
But he uses only that, truth. He does not use lies to convert. He does not sanctify people to believe lies. He sanctifies them to believe what? To believe of the truth. So you're saying if a person has never heard the truth, they can't be saved. Well, they can't be converted. They may have been saved by God in election before the foundation of the world, but they also got to be saved by God in conversion through the preaching of the truth and believing of the truth. Because remember, let me say it again, you can't believe what you don't know, what you've never heard. Romans 10, Paul says that, right? So there is an act here of the human will. Somebody's preaching the truth. Somebody's believing the truth, right?
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, who will believe the truth? Those that God works in them, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
It is his people whom he says will be willing in the day of his power.
Yes.
So he says again, let me read the rest of it. Read it again and then the rest of it. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel.
Yes.
Now see this call. Now here we're right back to what? Calling. Now which came first? Election or calling?
Exactly.
Election took place from the beginning, right? Calling takes place how? By the gospel. You see it here? Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now think about that. We already got it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
Somebody says, I sure don't see it much in you. I don't see it much in you either. Let's just leave it that way. It says we got it. We've obtained it. We best leave it that way. Quit trying to find it.
Yeah.
Huh? God says we've obtained it. What's that mean? I ain't for sure. Huh? Other than a few things, you believe the truth. And that's the one thing, that is the one distinguishing mark that I have a right to judge people on. And so do you. Right? Do you believe the truth?
That's it.
Do you go to church every Sunday? Do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Do you separate yourself from the world as you ought to? Those things are important.
Yeah.
But one thing, a believer can fail in all those things.
Yes, sir.
But a believer cannot not believe the truth.
Exactly.
Or he wouldn't be, or she wouldn't be a believer.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, somebody says, don't judge. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It says don't judge somebody for a speck when you got a beam. Take the beam out, then what? See, they don't talk about that part. You once you take the beam out, you have what? A right to judge the speck. Right? Now, we're all fallen creatures, and we could all point fingers at one another. But there is a dividing line. And we've got to hold it even here. Belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. That's the one standard, belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. Belief of the truth. That's the hallmark. Belief of the truth.
Yes, sir.
Sad thing is, some people believe it for a while.
Yep. That's true.
That's what it says. For a while. And they don't just stumble. Sadly, they don't just fall. Because a believer can do that. But it says they fall away. They go into, another way of interpreting that, they go into apostasy. So therefore, we may accept somebody based upon a profession of belief of the truth and then later find out, not that we're necessarily wrong, but that's what we're supposed to do, right? That's all we can do, right? Someone says, I believe this. You take them at their word. But time alone can tell. Time, and if you know what, I believe time alone will tell. And I know it hurts when we have people we care about deeply, and they're here for a while, and sometimes, for our experience, it may seem like a long while. But the next thing you know, they drop away. Over there, not to be seen anymore. Let me tell you something, folks. That, in the long run, is a good thing. Because a little leaven leavens a whole lump.
That's right.
Somebody says, well, I thought you're not supposed to try to separate the tares from the wheat. No way, man. You're not talking about it in the local assembly.
Yeah.
He says the tares from the wheat are in the what? It says the field. And what is the field defined as?
Exactly.
The world, not the church.
Right.
The church is made up only of believers.
Yes, sir.
Local assemblies are made up of believers, but sometimes unbelievers creep in.
Oh, yeah.
Sneaky. Sometimes deceived people come along. And why does God let these things happen for so long? This long with that one? That long? I don't know. But after a while, God makes a division, right?
Yes, sir.
And Paul says that. He said that there must needs be heresies among you. So that those who are approved may be made manifest. It's a good thing. Now, it may not feel like a good thing. Believe you me, I know what I'm talking about. If somebody said, you saying you got the right to then point fingers? If they don't believe the truth, you daggone right.
Yes, sir.
If they abandon the truth, the truth. I'm not talking about they just leave the building. I'm not talking about they just leave this. If they abandon the truth,
yeah.
Mark them off the list.
Yes, sir.
Right? If they abandon the truth, mark them off the list. Father, I pray that you guide us, lead us as you have promised you will. Lord, also pray for others. You know the circumstances and the circumstances which gives us joy, but at the same time, deep sadness. These things, it's hard to put into words, but we know that in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, He does and can be, He does know the feelings of our infirmities and our felt weaknesses. Be with us and strengthen us. Strengthen us where its strength is necessary. Move us where moving is necessary. Guide and direct us in the person of Thy Son, and I ask it in His name. Amen.